Hello and welcome everybody to this week's episode of the ASL podcast, Entrepreneurs Sharing Lessons, used to be SBC podcast, but now we rebranded it to Entrepreneurs Sharing Lessons or People Sharing Lessons in general. With us today is Carlos Valdez. He's an organizational development professional, founder and CEO of Corporate Collaboration Resources, LLC. He's a speaker, he's an author, among many other things. So with that, welcome, Carlos. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thank you. Thanks for being here. I would like to have you start a little bit by telling us a little bit of a preview of a couple of your books. I love the titles and what they are about. Obviously, you can't give away everything, but just a little bit.
No. So the first book I wrote is called Lessons from Mars. It's got a much longer title, but Lessons from Mars will bring it up for you on Amazon or wherever you buy books. Right. And it's based on the research I did and the framework for collaboration I developed from that research, working with a team while I was at Mars Incorporated. Mars Incorporated being the company that makes Snickers and M&Ms.
Yeah, we have to make that clarification because people may have thought you've been to Mars.
No, I've never been to the planet. But I spent 17, 18 wonderful years working for that great company, who were gracious enough to let me borrow the name, as I put it into the title of the book. The second book is actually a distillation of the Lessons from Mars book, adapted for working in a remote culture. It's called Virtual Teams, Holding the Center When You Can't Meet Face-to-Face. And it takes valuable nuggets of what we learned there and through experiences I had while I was still at Mars, because it's a global company where we did a lot of work remotely. I apply it specifically to remote teams and remote work. And fun fact, that book was written in about 6 weeks, starting in March, and it was published in May of 2020.
Yeah, how was that process? I mean, what made it so? Some people take decades to write a book.
first book took me years. A couple of things. First book took me several years because I was working full time when I wrote it. The second book was written while I was devoting myself as an external consultant to working with teams. The COVID had hit, and suddenly my calendar just was wide open. I had been accustomed to going into my clients' offices and factories and working with teams in real time. And suddenly they said, Carlos, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're putting a hold on everything. So I had all this time on my hands, and my publisher called and said, hey, Carlos, we're putting together a series of books called the Resilience series. It's called John Hunt Publishers. Could you contribute something on your take on collaboration? And I said, it so happens I've started writing another book that I could adapt to this. So I had a bit of a head start, but it took, 6 weeks, start to finish, including some of the stuff. So,
well, congratulations on that. So speaking of collaboration, I know you speak to leadership and collaboration. And of course, there's been reasons and ways we needed to adapt, especially with everything that's been going on. What are some of your observations or even some advice about what's going on? Because I know you deal with organizational development, and obviously you've written about virtual teams and how can we best position ourselves to adapt to what's going on and maybe even thrive in what's going on?
Well, there's so many angles we could take on this. I think the most important thing to think about is collaboration. Let me use a different word, teamwork. This word teamwork is used very generically, very broadly. We talk about leading teams, building teams, having high-performing teams. The muddled meanings of that word don't help us. The thing I talk about is I talk about collaboration, because a generic team of maybe 5 or 6 people on a corporation may or may not actually need to collaborate, right? You can have a so-called team of individual contributors who do very good work, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Who do very fine things and were hired for those skills and should in fact keep doing them. The thing people struggle with is the collaboration within teams, right? When people have to work together. So I make a clear distinction. So the first thing to notice is if you're out there and you and your team are working remotely using Zoom or Teams or whatever, where do you actually need to be a team? And where is it okay to be individuals? That's especially important if you're stuck at home with your kids. I don't know if you've got kids.
Yeah, I have a couple.
All right. And I'm not sure what the situation in Florida is, but here where I am in the Northeast, kids are still doing a lot of homeschooling. Mm-hmm. Their parents are trying to work full-time jobs right. out of the house.
Yeah.
You need time to do your real work, right?
Yeah.
Between trying to be a good team player and trying to right. be a good parent. And so be selective. Where do you actually need to be with your team and working as a group? And where do you not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And make sure you're really clear about that so you aren't doing what some people have called over collaboration.
Yeah.
You're trying too hard to make everything about the team. That'll just burn you out.
Yeah. 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 It is true. I totally agree because I mean, you know, there was a time where that like open space or open office kind of culture has taken over, but there are just some times where you need to close the door and get some stuff done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad, you know, you kind of draw that distinction. Carlos, can you talk a little bit about organizational development? Because, I mean, it's like there's all these things that, like you said, we use. So a lot of times we don't even stop and think about anymore. What do they mean and what do they they entail?
So org development, I'll use the abbreviation org development or OD, some people call it. I think of it as organizational health.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Organizations have lots of moving parts. Right? They have the people, they have the processes, they have the technologies, right? They have physical locations, or at least they used to.
Right.
How do we get these systems, these complex systems we call organizations, to function optimally, right? And it may mean we need to address the organization itself as a whole. We may need to address teams within the organization. We may need to address individuals, sometimes called these days the talent, right?
Right.
We typically talk about intervening at those three levels, but nowadays, actually, there's a fourth level, which is the broader network outside the organization. So many of us now are working outside our organizations to get things done across organizational boundaries. So org development, which came out of a thing when I started, it was called human resources development, right? Started with a real focus on things like org design, process design, talent systems and processes, that sort of thing, performance management. It has expanded somewhat. There is a related field called org design, organization design. And I'm a member of quite a fine organization called the Organization Design Forum, which looks at similar things, but really from a design perspective, like how do we build the organization?
Mm-hmm.
Org development is more about what do we do with the organization that's there? That may include at some point a redesign, but does that help?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then, but it does, I guess, beg a couple of questions. What are some ways like you start or people can start, like whether it's like totally engineering or designing in your organization, or if they're redesigning? So when you're working with people, what are some questions that will help you diagnose some of the issues that you may ask, or you ask them to ask themselves?
Well, so I want to make clear that what I chose at some point in my career as a generalist in the field of organization development to focus on teams and collaboration, right? So I could go on and on about, I mean, I've got diagnostics for org development or org health that are 20 pages long.
Right.
It's just crazy. So I think probably I'll suggest that I talk about your team. How can you diagnose if that subset of the organization is operating well, right?
Yes.
And let's do a couple of obvious things, right? Is there lingering unresolved conflict in your group or team, right? If there is, something is not quite right. People aren't feeling they can speak up. People aren't feeling they can voice their perspective and work things out. So that's a very obvious one. A lot of people call me with that question. What's interesting is almost always below that question of conflict, there's something else going on. Maybe the roles in your team are not clearly defined so that people are getting into each other's business all the time, right? Now, sometimes that's exactly the right thing to do, but sometimes it's not. So it could be a role-based conflict, right? It could be an authority-based conflict. I thought that was my decision. You're saying it's your decision, yeah? It could be interpersonal. It could be that there are just really different styles of the people on your team, and those things are not meshing. There could be goals conflict. Wait, I was told I had to bring this project in by this date, regardless of budget. And you're over here telling me that you're part of this. You're very tightly controlled on the budget. You don't care so much about time. We got conflict, right? So conflict happens in lots of dimensions. So it's really important that if you see conflict, that you go that next level down and try to understand where's the disconnect or the malfunction. mm-hmm. that's creating this conflict, right?
Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's more than just one thing too. That's one of those areas that people go to, but then they need to go a level deeper. And in my field, mm-hmm. that going the level deeper is really what it's why I get paid the big bucks.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what is an example of going deeper? Or maybe also if you identify like the source of conflict, how can you approach it? Because a lot of people just run away from conflict and then, creates what's called artificial harmony, or people yeah. just try, you know, they can have those tough conversations or those crucial conversations. What has been your experiences or some advice or guidance, that you can share?
Look, I haven't managed a team myself in probably several years, but so I'll speak as the consultant that I am. I always try to get multiple perspectives. Mm-hmm. So even if you and I are mm-hmm. in conflict, and it's here's the wonderful thing. It's wonderful because people don't think about it. But if you and I have a conflict and we're part of a 6 or 8 person team, our conflict almost always spills over to the rest of the
True.
Team. Right?
Yeah.
You're bad mouthing me, or I'm bad mouthing you, or people take sides and yeah. people support me and they support you. So you get these factions forming and that starts to disrupt things. And
yeah.
So you really have got to take a 360 degree look. Now that doesn't mean that everybody gets involved in resolving the conflict. What you get is perspectives about the conflict. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. talk to multiple stakeholders in a confidential way, making sure you keep everything anonymous. This is not like you're going to sit back and say, oh, well, Carlos yeah. said this. We're going to keep it confidential so that you bring to the table a robust view of what's going on and possibly some insights into those underlying issues that are showing up as a conflict. I talked to a guy, a dear old friend of mine, who actually helped me develop the team framework that I use today. Mm-hmm. He currently works in a senior role at Johnson & Johnson. We had this great conversation about empathy, and we were talking about how do you manage performance on a team. And he said, you know, the thing I learned is I have to remember, even when there's a low performer on my team, or even when there's conflict in my team, I'm not just going to step in and tell people to stop it or tell people to change it. Mm-hmm. I have to get the bigger picture. I have mm-hmm. to get the context. I have to understand the world they're working in, the issues they're dealing with before we can declare one thing or the other to be true or to be a solution. Right. So empathetically taking a broad view of the conflict and then being helpful. Your job is not to fix the conflict. Mm. Your job is to help the people involved in it find their way through it in productive ways. Easier said than done, I grant you. But bear in mind, most conflict I encounter is actually not interpersonal. It is role conflict. It is goals conflict. It's authority-based conflicts, things like that. And those things, once you get the facts on the table, it's pretty easy to step back and sort them out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Carlos, is there like, have you noticed any correlation between the size of the company and the types of conflicts that pop up or anything like that? Or is there like a certain type of issues that pervades all types of companies?
People are people, right? I will say this. I worked in two big companies in the last 20 years, actually not 25 years. So IBM mm-hmm. and Mars Incorporated, very different cultures, very yeah. different companies, both large, both global,
right.
in different industries, but had less to do with the industries. IBM is an old school technology company. So right. not a Silicon Valley company, although they might
right.
think of that now.
Yeah.
Whereas Mars is in the consumer packaged goods business, right? Between their candy products and their pet businesses. IBM was political in a kind of classical way, very hierarchical, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff done behind people's backs, a lot mm-hmm. of political maneuvering, right. a lot about, hey, it's who you know if you want to get the next big job, who do you suck up to? It yeah. drove me nuts. I couldn't stand yeah. it. Mars is a much flatter, less hierarchical, more achievement-based company, more merit-based. So,
yeah. performing.
There was at least one president of Mars Incorporated who had no college degree. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter because he'd shown himself to be
right.
productive
yeah.
and smart and mm-hmm. just inherently good.
Yeah. Right.
And he got the big job. Mm-hmm. So the conflicts in those companies would probably look different based on those cultural differences.
True.
But don't misinterpret me. There are still politics at Mars Incorporated.
Yeah.
They just look different. So
yeah.
there will be political differences, but they'll probably play out a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So on one level, we're all just people.
yeah,
we get into the kind of conflicts we get into because of who we are, and that we're just people trying to do our best, and sometimes we lose our patience with one another or with the work we're doing. And yes, culture and structure can influence conflict, but not in a way that would cause me to approach it any differently, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Three wise words right there. Thank you. Carlos, we're getting up to that time here. So is there something that you wanted to share with the audience that hasn't come up in this brief conversation that we've had?
You know, I've just read an article put out, it's a paper published by Deloitte, the consultancy, and they're talking about what are called super teams. I think I might have heard these referred to elsewhere, but super teams are really where artificial intelligence and teamwork meet. And they talk about the super teams will integrate technology, not as an enabler, but as a team member. And I just want to caution people, as if we start hearing more and more about super teams, the technology is really important. Undeniably, we couldn't have gotten through this pandemic without collaboration technology. But we have to start changing our mindsets about teams. Teams are not about the good spirit and the super great buzz we get, and the beers we drink after work, and the golf outings. Look, those things are fun. We ought to enjoy ourselves.
Right.
But teamwork itself is a technology. Collaboration is a human technology. And we have to understand that so we can build our teams to be fit to purpose, whether they include artificial intelligence or machine learning or not. I want the mission I'm on. I want to get people thinking about teams as technology, which means we have to engineer them. We have to think about them as multiple moving parts and make them fit for purpose, not just go bowling or go do a ropes course. That's not going to get us where we need to be.
Yeah, I love that, because we get caught up in all those buzzwords and the latest trends and fads and whatnot, or the flavor of the month, but actually like what works, what, you know, works. And we have to foster an environment where good teams can exist and develop. So I totally agree. So Carlos, how can people stay in touch with you, follow you, and whatever you share, of course, we will publish in writing as well. So people can just click on it, or
You can find me at my website, Carlos V. So my name is Carlos Valdez Tepena, not just Valdez, but Valdez Tepena. You can see it. I'm looking at it on my screen here, so you clearly got it. Carlos Valdez, Carlos V. Tepena, .com. You can click on the contact us link right there. You'll find me on LinkedIn as well and on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, awesome. And I know if you just Google, you too, I mean, you know, stuff will come up.
Yeah, stuff. Whether you like it or not.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, listeners, this concludes this week's episode of the ESL podcast. Be on the lookout for future ones. And also you can check out some of the previous ones under the old brand name as well at our blog at sbchecks.com or your favorite podcast listening app. Be kind and be well. Bye-bye.